God is love. And Swedenborg tells us what the essentials of love and loving are. In other words, what God is. So that's the main theme this morning of my sermon and message. But also, I want to talk about what it means that He abides in you. He will be in you. He will be in you. We will be in Him. That He will reveal Himself to us. Does that sound good? Would you like to have God reveal Himself to you? The good news is He will when we obey His commandments. And especially the great commandment to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. He'll reveal Himself to us. So, what is the first essential of love? The first aspect. It is, I'll tell you all three and then we'll come back to them. To love others outside of ourselves. That's number one. Number two, to desire, to want, to be united with them, to be close to them, to be in relationship with them, to be one with them, to be conjoined with them. However you want to put it, it's to have that close relationship. That's the second part, to desire that. And the third part is to want to make other people happy, to bless them. And that's what God is, those three things. That's His love. Number one, to love others outside of Himself. We'll take a painting like this or any artwork that we see, and if you study painting and artists, you can say, oh, that's a Rembrandt, or that's a Picasso. If you know those kind of things, you'll say, just looking at it, nobody will tell you, you've never seen it before, oh, that's got to be Rembrandt. Or a musical piece. You can say, oh, that's a Beethoven. That's got to be Beethoven. That's got to be Bach. That's got to be Schubert. Even though you've never heard it before, because there's something of the artist in what they create. That's got to be a Led Zeppelin. That's got to be a Beatles. That's a Beach Boys. It has to be. Because there is something of the artist in what they create. And yet, what they create isn't them. A Beatles song, it's not Paul McCartney. You know, a Schubert, it's not Schubert. It's from him, and there's something of him in it. We can recognize, but it's not them. Creation is the same way. God is an artist. He created the spiritual world and the natural universe, and there's something of him in it, so we can recognize God in it. But it's outside of him. It's not him. He's uncreated. And so it's important to realize, yeah, creation is outside of God. Even though there's a sense in which he's still in it. And the really kind of neat part is that he actually created a body for himself in the womb of Mary and has his own physical and spiritual presence, personal presence in the spiritual world and in the natural world. So that would be like, Schubert somehow putting himself and actually being in his music, in his song, or a Picasso putting himself in the painting. We can't do that, but God can, and he did. So Jesus is the creator in his own physical human form, in his creation. But all the rest of us, we're outside of God. So, one reason for creation is to fulfill himself. He is love itself. He has to love others outside of himself. So he created everybody and everything so that there would be people who were outside of himself that he could love. Part two. He desires to be close to us, to be one with us, to be in unity with us, to be conjoined with us, to fill us. As the reading says, to be in us and have us in him. And he works endlessly and continuously to make that possible. And it's up to us, but he maintains our freedom of choice. He gives us the teachings. One way or another, he gives us the enlightenment that we can make free choices. And we can choose to let him come into us or not. We can choose how close to God we want to be. Because he gives us the means. He gives us the ability to receive his love and to be loving beings. And he gives us the choice that we can turn that around into hatred and hate people. He gives us the ability to think, to be rational. Those two abilities are part of his presence in us. And so he works to become one with us. He says, love me with all your heart, soul, and strength. Choose to love what I teach you to love. Choose to think the things that I teach you to think. How do we get to close somebody that we know in the world here? How do we get close to our parents or our friends or our husbands or our wives or children? How do we get close to anybody? By loving the same things they love, having common interests. We love to go biking. We love to be hiking. We love to go to concerts. When we have common love, when we learn to, if we like somebody and we want to get closer to them, we learn to love the things they love. We learn to think the way they think. If they like the Republican way of thinking, well, we learn to think like Republicans because we want to get close to them. Or if they like thinking about philosophy, well, we start taking up and studying philosophy so we can get closer to them. Or we like doing things together. We do things that they like to do. They like going to football games. They like going to basketball games. They like whatever it is they like to do. If we want to get close to somebody, we try to do those things. We try to think that way. We try to love the same things. Well, it's the same with God. It's the same with God. He's working to get closer to us, but it's our job and our choice to how close he's going to get. He's always standing at the door knocking, as he says. But when I learn to love the things he loves, when I learn to think about and dwell on the things he thinks about, when I read the Word, when I read the Bible, when I think about those things, I'm thinking the way God thinks. And so when I'm loving the things he loves, thinking about the things he thinks about, and then doing the things he tells me to do, obeying the Ten Commandments, staying away from my selfishness and the worldliness and greediness, when I stay away from those things, which he tells me to stay away from, and love my neighbors and do things for my neighbors, that's what he tells me to do. When I do what he tells me to do, we get closer and closer and closer. Because his love becomes our love. We start loving the way he loves. His thoughts, his wisdom becomes our wisdom. And we start thinking the way he thinks. And then we do what he does, and so we're doing what he does. When we do all that, he starts to dwell in us. That's what he's talking about. When he says, when I and you, and you and me, and my Father and us, and all that, it's talking about loving the same things, thinking the same things, and doing what he teaches us to do, obeying the commandments. So that's part two. Part three is that his love is to bless us, to give us joy, to fill us with happiness and delight. And when we want to love somebody, it's the same thing. We try to fill them with joy. We try to fill them with love and delight. We rejoice when they rejoice. We feel sad when they feel sad. We embrace them and give them blessings by honoring them and where they're at. That's what gives them joy. That's what gives us joy, when people validate what we're experiencing. People validate what we're thinking, what we're feeling. Oh, that's so good. And it feels so nice. That's a blessing. And so we can do the same thing. And I want to talk about the really good news now. The best part of this whole business is what happens when the Lord dwells in us like that. When we think the way he thinks, when we love the way he loves. When that happens, you might think, well, then I just become kind of like a robot. I just become God's instrument, God's little piece, and I'm just doing what he loves, and I'm just thinking what he thinks, and I'm just loving the way he loves. Well, what happened to me? What about me? Don't I get to still be? Can I still be Terry, or do I have to just become this thing that God acts through almost? You see the question I'm asking here is why doesn't God take me over if I let him in? And the reason is because we are unique, each one of us, in the way we receive his love and the way we reflect his love. We are unique because of our experience, our heredity, our background, our nature and our nurture. We are each unique individuals. Even if we're twins, we're unique individuals. We have different experiences. So we receive his love and we receive his wisdom in our own unique way. So what happens is that as we live into eternity, getting closer and closer to God, getting filled more and more with his love, we become more and more like him, and yet there's an infinite variety of people. We are still our unique individual. Swedenborg tells us that the highest angels, the ones who are closest to the Lord, feel like their love, what they love, and what they think is their own. More than anybody else. Their life, in other words, feels like theirs more than anyone. And I ask you, just think about this. How alive do you feel, and how connected do you feel to the Lord? I know for me that I don't feel like I'm plugged in somewhere. I've got life. I'm independent. I can jump, I can still be alive. I'm off the ground. I'm not connected to anything. But I'm alive. It's my life. Angels feel, the highest angels feel that way more than anybody. And yet I feel that already, and I'm not an angel. That the closer we get to God, the more we feel that what we love is our own. The closer we get to God, the more we feel that what we think is our own. And yet, The more well we know better than anybody else that it's all from the Lord. So we feel it as our own, and we feel our own independent uniqueness, but we know better than anybody else that it's really the Lord's love in us and the Lord's wisdom in us. So, those are the three essentials of love. To love others outside of ourselves, to work and desire to become one with them, and to make them blessed and happy. And when we feel like our love and our life and our wisdom is our own, boy, does that feel good. That is the ultimate blessing there is. So, now we can come back to where we started, I think. The great commandment. The Lord wants all that, and he wants all that for each one of us. And he says, the way to get there is to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. And how do we love him? We love to get close to him, He's outside of us, even though he's inside us. That's another subject. But he's in there, but he's not us, is what I'm getting at. We can love him, and outside of ourselves, we love to be one with him, to get close to him, and we love to do what he does and give him delight. There's nothing more delightful to the Lord than to fill us with his love, to fill us with his wisdom, to fill us with his joy. And so he says, love me. Love me with all your heart and soul and strength. Amen.